Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking into hour number two. It is the home team on a Monday as we're already closing in on the end of May. Next Monday's Memorial Day.
I'm just telling you, this PGA being in May.
Well, you know what? In support of you, my friend, I didn't see a single shot of it because I figure the best way to not have the PGA Championship in May is to not watch the PGA Championship in May, and I didn't.
Well, and it was even the Golf Channel, and I get it. They're going to spin that everything's good, nothing to see here, but they were saying even, well, it looks a little, you know, there are no kids out here. Well, yeah, because they're at school. Then I just remember I had a congrats go at my buddy Stu Crimes amongst the many graduates, so we went to a little graduation party for him that my buddy Scott threw, and it was at 6 o'clock, and Emily's like, we need to go. Hang on, I got to see this putt. It was one of those things. That's the first time ever that I've had a high school graduation party interfere with the PGA Championship.
Yeah, it won't be the last, probably.
No, it's just one of those things. It'll take some time to get used to, but it's like I said again, it felt, and I know with Bethpage and the way they had the rough up there having the two U.S. Opens, and, you know, because it was the first major after the Masters, it felt like the U.S. Open. I had to just keep reminding myself, this is the PGA, this is the PGA. Because I was thinking about, well, if Dustin wins, we'll be a, I'm like, well, it'll be a second major, but his first PGA. You just kind of had, again, I guess after a while, maybe we'll get used to it. But it's another one of those things, apparently, or if there was, it was done behind closed doors. There was no conjecture, no discussion, no debate. It was like, well, here's what we want to do for TV. TPC in March, Augusta in April. We'll do the PGA in May, U.S. Open June, British July, playoffs in August, then it'll be over. Okay, we're just going to do it. You're just going to do it. Well, when is that going to start? Next year.
Okay. I know. It's like the Georgia-Auburn thing. Like, oh, wait a second. Oh, so Georgia and Auburn are going to start playing at the end of September or early October. When does that start? Next season.
And when is so that you mean official? This is today.
Yeah. So you mean this will be the last year we play them in November?
Yes, it will.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So, and all, well, you know, it probably didn't help this weekend either that by Thursday at like 1 o'clock, you knew Brooks Koepka was going to win the thing. So even at the point yesterday that, okay, Dustin Johnson closed it within one, like, well, no one was bothering to watch anyway because, like, well, Koepka's not going to lose, and he didn't, but it did get interesting, I guess.
Bramer, I think when I came on with you from Foley on Thursday after he had hung that 63, I think you and I both said at that point you would take Koepka over the field.
Well, yeah, because and a lot of that had to do with, at that point, the leaderboard was gross. Now, by Friday, it had gotten better. And, you know, I mean, you look at the Koepka, Johnson, and Spieth end up in the top three. One of my favorite things from this weekend, too, that didn't go unnoticed by me is Rory pulling off the patented, I'm going to back
door
into a top 10.
Backdoor. So he wound up at plus one. I didn't even think he was going to make the cut.
No, and he started yesterday. I mean, like, I think he was, like, in the 20s, and he ends up tied for eighth. But that's just his move, right? So, like, next major or all around, hey, look, Rory had a top 10 at the PGA. Like, he was never in contention. Of course, one really was, but.
So they had one. It must have been Saturday morning. I was watching the Golf Channel before I ran over to baseball, and they showed Rory out on the practice tee. And I think the analysts and all do a really good job. Sometimes I think it's just one of those deals where a producer will come up with something. And like everything, they're good producers and bad producers. And maybe the lead broadcaster, the host slash play-by-play man, just doesn't know enough about golf to say, like, no, that's a bad idea. I'm not going to say that. But at that point, Rory was whatever he was when he made the cut. What, three over? And Dustin was, what, minus 12 going into Saturday?
Or Koepka.
Yeah, Koepka, yeah. I'm sorry, was minus 10, minus 12, whatever it was. So he goes, well, could Rory go out there and post a really low number? Then if Koepka blows up, Rory could be right in it. I'm thinking, well, yeah, if Rory goes out and shoots a 55 today, yeah, and Koepka shoots even, they'll be tied because he's got a 15-shot lead on him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, stop trying to force a story here.
But the only reason Rory went out and shot 69-69 is because he had barely made the cut. Like, if he had started 69-69, of course,
weekends.
Yeah, even that would have still had him way behind. But if he had started 69-69, then he would have done the opposite and shot 71-72 on the weekend.
Because that's been his deal.
Yeah.
He hadn't been able to – I mean, and you know where that was most notable was last year at Augusta. He was – I know he was three back, but he was in the last group with Patrick Reed, who nobody was rooting for, and he picked up a shot on the first hole and – was a zero factor.
In fact, I'm gonna say that Rory McIlroy does own the career Grand Slam in backing into top tens in major championships.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
All right, let's jump into today's 5 at 5. Brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Let's just while we're on the subject, let's start with golf and Brooks Koepka. Now, 4 major championships, only 2 active players with more: Phil and Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to throw some names out there. Tell me, will Koepka end up with more majors than the player or fewer majors than the player?
Can I say even as well?
Yeah, if you want to go there. Let's start with Phil. Phil has 5. Koepka has 4.
I'll say more.
Arnold Palmer.
I think you're getting into the category of same.
The golf majors are interesting because obviously there are multiple players that have won one major. Multiple players that have won 2 majors, 3 majors, 4 majors, 5 majors, 6 majors, 7 players. Only one guy's won exactly 8 majors. Jeff, I'm going to guess you know who that person is.
Oh, my gosh. And I was thinking about, you know, he had a 5-shot lead in 78 at Oakmont at the PGA and lost in a playoff to John Mahaffey. But my man Watson's at 8.
So does Koepka even – can he catch Watson?
I think he could. I think that Snead and Palmer are at 7. Watson's at 8, and Hogan and Player are at 9. I think he could be in that group. I would say the best bet would – what would you say? And I know it's a lot to win, but this guy, I mean, when you think about, he's not only won 4 majors, he's won back-to-back U.S. Opens and back-to-back PGAs concurrently. Maybe he never wins another one, but I think he gets to at least 6 or 7.
I would probably say that too, even with how I feel about how hard it is to win majors. But he is just on, even before he started winning them, when you look at his play in majors, the guy is pretty consistently always just even in the top 20. And he's only missed one cut in his career at a major.
And I'm just telling you too, the power he has, and also mentally, just seeing these interviews with him, he really feeds off what he feels is a lack of respect. And I know it's different from, like, if you go and watch the video package of the 62 U.S. Open at Oakmont, when, you know, the fans were just brutal to Nicklaus because it was Arnold Palmer's backyard. Jack was so focused, he said, I honestly didn't hear any of it. In the end, it backfired more and hurt Palmer more because he was terribly embarrassed by
that, his fans for doing
on.
That?
Yes. So it probably had a more negative effect on Palmer because Nicklaus says, I was just out there to play. But he was so singularly focused. And then you look at this guy, I mean, with his power and the way he could just overpower a golf course. And Nicklaus in his day, I mean, there have always been long hitters, but he was a mega long hitter and was straight and, again, had all the other shots. And that's the thing with Koepka. I mean, he hit a tee ball yesterday. I can't remember where it was. Let's just say it was maybe number 9 or number 10. I mean, where he cut a corner over the trees right in the fairway like 330, and he's got all the shots. He's got a steady putter, and he is powerful. Well, I mean, powerful.
I just think what continues to fascinate me about him is the fact that he's won 4 majors, and he's only won 5 tournaments. On the PGA Tour level.
Yep.
I know his resume and his history of starting out on that Challenger Tour, and he won some there or whatever, but he won the Phoenix Tournament, And that's it.
Yeah, he is locked in.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that he's currently tied with at four major championships. Yeah,
Raymond Floyd won a lot of tournaments.
Won a lot of tournaments. Like, I would love it if this guy ends up for his career where he wins, like, eight majors. And, like, those are the only tournaments he's ever won.
He's won eight majors and 12 tournaments. It's like something like that.
It's like, you think about, if he won eight and ends up, he's got as many majors as Tom Watson. I mean, how many other tournaments did Tom Watson win?
I think officially on tour, and you know, those guys would win some of those in the fall and all.
Greensboro Open.
He was around 40.
Okay.
Let me see what they officially credit my man.
But like, I would love it if Koepka was at, no, I've won nine times. Eight of them just happened to be majors,
right.
And I won the Waste Management Open in Phoenix once.
No, it's amazing. But when you start looking at greatness, and it's a natural for us to want to compare current great athletes with former great athletes. And when it comes to records, I've always said it's the company you keep. And you start looking at this, I mean, guys who won back-to-back U.S. Opens, Curtis Strange was the last. Before that, it was Ben Hogan.
Right.
Okay, then you go back to Bobby Jones and turn of the century, Willie Anderson. All right, guys who won back-to-back PGAs. Well, since it went to stroke play, there's only one guy who's done it. You know who that was?
Tiger Woods, twice. Yeah, right.
Now then, but before that, when it was a match play, a guy named Denny Shute did it in the 30s. Before him, you got to go back to Walter Hagen. All right, so we're talking about Hogan, Hagen, Woods, and I'm just telling you, that game reminds you of the Golden Bear. And by the way, all right, so my man, the great Watson, he won. He's got 70 official professional wins, 39 on the PGA Tour, 8 major championships.
Okay.
So
Koepka's got 5 professional wins,
yes.
4 of them majors. And he's going to have now multiple chances, one next month and then one next year at the PGA to win a major 3 consecutive times, which hasn't been done since what, like the 50s?
Oh, gosh, I think Hagen in the 20s was the last guy.
To win a major 3 straight?
Oh, I thought you were about winning 2-3 straight, because he could do that.
Well, no, just a major 3 in a row, because I know the U.S. Open was Willie Anderson.
Yes, Peter Thompson did it back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Hogan technically missed a U.S. Open because of the injury, but he didn't win it. He won 3 straight that he played.
He played, but not 3 years in a row.
No. So, yes, and by the way, that was also not diminishing what Peter Thompson did. That was before the Americans started going over.
At the British Open.
Correct.
Yeah. But still, I mean, you got a chance next month to see something happen that hasn't happened in like 60 years.
Because at one point, I think Hagen won. Let me look up Hagen real quick. Hagen won, I believe, 3 or 4 straight PGAs and Masters. Let me just pull this up real quick.
Yeah, the U.S. Open was Willie Anderson.
He won it in what, 01, 03, 04, 05. Yeah. Okay, let me see here. Okay,
then he went on to star for Georgia in basketball.
All right, so Hagen won the Open in 28 and 29. Those were his back-to-back. He won it in 22, 24, 28, 29, and he won the PGA 21, and then he won it in 24, 25, 26, 27. So he won the PGA 4 straight years from 24 to 27. Then the next year, he won the Open the next 2 years. So I'm just guessing, just kind of going by the – so Hagen and Jones obviously played the British Open. So I'm just guessing, you know, then when the Great Depression hit, then World War II, obviously our great players stopped going. And like I said, Snead and Hogan both went over once, and they each won it. And there was a great story with Snead when the proper English gentleman was like, well, I'm sure, Mr. Snead, you'll be back to defend. He goes, the hell I am. It cost me $2,000 to get over here. This check's only $800.
Yeah.
So he never went back.
Yeah, the purse a little different now, though.
So that's why it changed when Palmer went over in 60 to pursue the modern Grand Slam. He had won the Masters and the U.S. Open. Then with that, it opened up. And he also, there used to be a deal, too, at the Open where you used to have to do Monday qualifying. And he basically told him, like, look, and even after he had won it in 61, he told him, like, look, if we got to do this Monday qualifying again, there's a good chance your defending champion ain't coming back. Yes, sir. Okay. So that's just
– like, I think winning it should automatically qualify.
That should probably get you in. But that's kind of how there are some changes that are definitely good, and that was one. But anyways, but just – so 60 is kind of the first time you can compare apples to apples. But I want to throw another thing out there, too, and it already started. Thing now, Koepka being the first guy to win all four of his majors within a two-calendar year period. I'm like, since World War II, I'm like, okay, that's true, but – you got to throw that asterisk in there because the PGA has now moved up 3 months.
Yeah. It does. It changes.
No, so it's still an incredible feat, but.
Yeah. But it's 3 months earlier than
correct.
It normally would have been. All right, moving on in the 5-5, Jeff, Georgia has picked up a verbal commitment today from a defensive tackle from Florida.
Georgia hat,
Jalen, so if this had happened earlier in the afternoon, would you be dressed like it's game day today in
absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely.
He's this big a deal. He's Zamir White-esque.
Well, the nothing gets me more excited than an elite five-star tailback when it comes to recruiting. The
sure.
DTs suck it, though.
Well, the DT is the, you know, because Clemson, I know over the weekend, got another five-star defensive end commitment for him.
Yeah,
I mean,
Miles
they just keep.
He's from Hillgrove High School here.
Yeah,
in Georgia.
So they just keep. Yeah, I mean, they keep pulling those guys in at that one spot, and that's that's the one area of Georgia's roster that I think has been lagging behind Clemson and Bama.
So, therefore, getting this guy, and now you look at to get Nazir Stackhouse, Jamil Burrows, and Jalen Carter on that defensive front. You know, when you look at the five that Georgia brought in for this class, with Trayvon Walker being the headliner, this is another thing that we feel good about. Two things here. Number one, Kirby, since he came in, was not going to reach on guys. Because when you reach on guys, they don't develop. Bad stuff happens. Guys wind up leaving, going out the door, not on good
terms. The portal.
Yeah. And you're let's face it. A lot of times you're pushing those kids out. He could have reached his first class and signed a full boat. We didn't do it. And that even includes a position of need, like defensive line. It was no mystery. He knew we needed guys. But like that class that'll now be the rising sophomore class, you got Jordan Davis, then Devontae Wyatt, who came from the JUCO ranks, so he'll be a junior. We could have reached there. He didn't do it. So he knew like that these next 2 years you absolutely had to hit a home run. And Georgia got five guys for this incoming class, and now we got three for the next class. And I'm sure Georgia, if I had to guess, we'll probably sign five or six defensive linemen. And they'll probably get a couple of defensive ends. I know there are a couple out-of-staters and an in-stater that are in. But I also like the confidence of knowing, like, all right, we're not going to reach. We know we've got to do great in these next two classes. And with Walker leading the way, Georgia had a really good D-line class this past year. And now, I mean, to get these three guys in Stackhouse and Burrows and Carter, that's big.
So Georgia with 10 commitments, what's the number Georgia's probably going to sign this time around?
If I had to guess, I would guess low 20s.
So close to halfway there?
Yeah.
All right. And the states, too. You got Florida. There's a Washington, D.C., two from Texas, another one from Florida. So half the class out of state so far.
And those guys are all elite. That's what we talk about. If you're going out of state.
Yeah. You got to make sure you're
– it's not a two –
you got to swing for the fences there.
No, it's not a two-star from Florida who's – I mean, other schools were Minnesota and FAU.
Yeah. And that linebacker from D.C.
Mikael Sherman.
Yeah. He didn't want to go to Maryland, play in the Big Ten.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah.
So Maryland's in the Big Ten and
correct.
The PGA's in May.
And the PGA's in May, and next season Georgia and Auburn will play at the end of September, I think. Or either the last Saturday in September or the first Saturday in October.
You know your job for me, right, when I've officially lost it.
Is to do the thing where I just play you. I tell you that we got this kid named Herschel.
Just early 80s Georgia football wins.
Right.
Just
yeah.
Keep me there.
Right. Oh, we got this freshman. He's going to be the next big thing. His name is Herschel.
At least, I tell you what, start with 81 and into 82, so I'll at least know we've won the national championship.
Okay.
And hopefully Kirby will deliver one this year, and then you can add that to it, too.
All right. Well, Georgia's going to be right there, which brings me to my next question. It's preseason poll season, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got, in fact, is yours published yet? I know you were texting me about it early last week.
No, but it's, I mean.
Is it on the way?
You can probably guess who all was, like, Alabama's in it.
Well, yeah.
Clemson is in it.
Which is going to, like, I see Athlon has put out their top 25. They've got Georgia ranked third behind the two obvious suspects.
Right.
My question is for you, what is a fair and acceptable ranking for Georgia this season? Because I do feel weird where it's like anything less than three to me would seem unacceptable.
Here's the crazy thing, and you and I have talked about it a lot, but when I was going through a preview issue, going through the schedule, and it kind of hits you how tough that schedule is, especially in November, and just the open dates for both Missouri and Auburn.
Back to back.
I mean, so to me, here's the key. This is kind of Captain Obvious. We need to be undefeated going into Jacksonville. Then we need to beat Florida.
We need to be undefeated coming out of that, too.
Yes. Then if we could go 2-1 out of Missouri, Auburn, and A&M, and then beat Tech, I think that's a heck of a season.
Yeah, you're in position then to play Bama in Atlanta, win it, and go
to the playoff.
Go to the playoff.
I think if Georgia were to run the table – I think Georgia should be in the playoff no matter what happens. Because that November schedule is
– Even if they lose to Bama?
Against that schedule?
I mean, I'm with you, but I just wonder if –
Well, you know they would get in.
Well, yeah.
Even with a softer schedule.
Of course. If they beat us and we're undefeated, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, then it comes down to, are they going to take two teams from the SEC again and – I don't know. I'd rather not take my chances on that, seeing as how we're Georgia and all and not Alabama.
Well, my motto is leave no doubt. So, you know, here's the other thing. Somebody's broken that glass ceiling and going 15-0, so why not?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if – that's the thing with Georgia is I don't know that it really – if going to Atlanta 12-0 or 11-1 really is that big of a difference. I just think it's you get there and you have to beat Alabama because I don't know. I'd rather not take my chances of losing the SEC title game, even if that's the only loss and still – ending up in the playoff.
And plus, you would hope that would knock out a potential playoff combatant as well. That was the other thing about last year. And, I mean, listen, 1-8-1-8 is the most heartbreaking loss in Georgia football history. I was hoping I would never see one top Penn State, but we saw it. But the thing about last year, it was like it wasn't nearly as bad. Now, was it a devastating top five loss of all time? Sure. And three of those have all been to the same team here in this decade in, well, not technically the same building, but you get it, right? You know, the Dome or Mercedes-Benz. But at the same time, it was like, well, they're going to be in the playoff anyway. And we were going to have to, one way or the other, we were going to have to go through Alabama and Clemson. I'm quite sure.
Yeah, which will be the case this season, you would imagine.
Because it was going to probably be a Georgia-Bama rematch.
Yeah. Back to me, the top four teams are the same. It's Clemson, Georgia, Bama, and Oklahoma.
Yeah, and then, you know, Ohio State.
Even with Ohio State, I'm like, all right, they lost Urban Meyer, and they've got a freshman quarterback now.
I know.
All right, so you got Michigan with Harbaugh, and Patterson is back, but they lost a lot on defense, and... You know, are they going to be running that same offense where they're, you know, like week one last year, they're losing to Notre Dame. There's like there's less than 3 minutes to play in the game, and they're running out of the I formation.
Right. Yeah.
Are you doing?
They've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
They've got a long way. And out of the Pac-12, you know, we'll see how Eason is, but Oregon would seem to have the best shot.
Until they lose to Auburn week one, like Washington did last year.
That's a massive game for that conference.
It's huge. And then Stanford their schedule's too tough.
I know, it's one of those, like, I appreciate good non-conference games. But
yeah.
And what are they doing going to Central Florida, like, in the middle of the year?
No, it's in September.
But it's like between, what, USC?
Yeah, their first.
They go Northwestern to open with, then USC. Yeah.
And then they go to Central Florida, and then they play, like, Oregon or somebody.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's right in between – just right in the meat of the season
Yeah, here it is. And then they also don't forget they go – this is the year they go to
– Notre Dame.
Or no, Notre Dame goes there.
So
but
it'll
still
be the last game.
Yeah, here you go. Here's their August/September. Northwestern, at USC, at UCF, home Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, and then they go to Oregon State. And then they play Washington. That's their first six games. Yeah, I applaud them for that.
No, I do.
I believe I check with the rest of college football and make sure. Whoa. As long as the SEC is still scheduling Mercer.
Who's playing Mercer?
I'm sure somebody is. I was just throwing that out there.
Well, they played Alabama and Auburn in the same year a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody in the league is playing Mercer. Heck, we're playing Murray State. But at least we're playing Notre Dame.
We're playing Notre Dame, yes. And I think we can look at the teams that Georgia has scheduled and attempted to schedule. And
so the question, though, for Georgia in a preseason ranking, would you accept anything less than 3?
Yeah, that'd be fine. If we, you know.
What if somebody had us ranked 5th?
That's fine.
You wouldn't?
That's fine.
I mean, I know you're a pessimist and all, but I think that'd be absurd. We're 3.
No, that's fine. I think we got a chance to be pretty good this year.
I think we might be. I agree with you.
And I'll tell you,
SEC East has been our whipping boy the last couple of years.
I don't want to put too much because I know George is going to bring him along at the perfect pace, and everybody was heartbroken with what happened last year. But you got a little X factor back there in that backfield too. And
yeah, well, you know, maybe like a Justin Ross-esque type breaking out of late in the season.
I mean, and when he's ready, and maybe it's next year. I mean, the what I hope best for Zamir, I hope he can come on at some point this year and help us win the national championship, and then next year be 100% healthy, have that one full season as the great back, win the high, and then, you know, he's going to have to go to cash in. So you hope you can get that a good year and then a great year out of him. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who is – from everything I've been told and just from what I've seen on videos. And, you know, it's hard to tell against high school sometimes. But and I'm talking about even talking to a guy who knows tailbacks better than anybody out there, as he coached the greatest one ever, is that this guy is like Todd Gurley good, special.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is just he's had 2 terrible knee injuries.
And
you know, you
don't know. You don't know. But if at some point this year he is close to 100%, that could be that kind of, like you said, Justin Ross late season, or maybe just that mid-season little jolt of like, whoa, these guys have got, okay, Fromm, Swift, Werner, and Holloman, and now, whoa.
Yeah, White. And then you've all, you know.
The line.
Yeah, plus Demetrius Robertson maybe. Are him in there?
Ooh, I got some scoop on a neat formation we were running too.
Ooh. Now, would Kirby want you to share that?
I can't share that one.
Okay.
But you would like the way we're thinking.
All right. All right, so there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.